Welcome to the Courageous Nation podcast, where every week we have a meaningful conversation that inspires you to live courageously. I am your host, Lance Merrickey, and I am here with your life coaches, Mandy and Rachel from Big Blue Couch Coaching. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
It's great to be back.
Yeah.
I've been going crazy today.
Yeah.
I've been singing weird things.
That's what happens when Mandy drinks coffee and soda.
Yeah, shh. Hashtag, I used to be a health
coach. I don't know if anyone has seen the video of Mandy getting excited for conference day, but that's what happens in the office, too, when it's popping coffee day.
It does. That is, you know, when, okay, so we shared this video on our Facebook page of, like, these two dogs, and the one dog is, it's morning, and the caption is, me in the morning. And the one dog is standing there by her food, like little dog, just staring at her food, thinking about eating it. And this other little yippy dog starts going back and forth, barking behind her. And this one dog just kind of keeps looking at it, doesn't bark or anything, just has this look of, ugh, don't even, I haven't had my coffee yet. And Rachel shared it and said, that's me in the morning. And then I think Lance chimed in and said, it's like Mandy and Rachel.
Yeah. It's so hilarious. You should check out the video. It's actually really funny.
I think I
watched it like six times because it's really funny.
You know, I'm not a morning person though.
Which is weird. It seems like you would be.
I really am not until after I have my coffee.
More of a morning person than I am, but neither of us are morning people.
Huh. Because you always strike me as a person to be like, jump out of bed.
It's because by the time you see me, I've been awake for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we need a good buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between the wake up time and when we have to like function. Actually, I had to take Brennan to the airport this morning and he goes, heaven forbid you ever have a job where, or either of us have a job where we have to like wake up and function and be at work by 8 o'clock. And I'm like, just take that back. Never say that out loud again. I'm like, no, I don't know how to function My brain doesn't work that
way. What time did you have to take him? Did you have to load up all the children?
We had to all be ready by 7, right?
We did.
Whew.
We left our house at 7. So anybody who's listening who's maybe from a big city, we can make it to the airport in about 20 minutes. And you don't have to be at our airport like 2 hours ahead of time.
Right.
No, ours is nice.
Brandon goes probably 45 minutes ahead of time. That's about it.
Yeah.
And I think today was probably pushing it more like 35. So I'm like, you're going to just have to jump out with your luggage because I had to quickly get the kids back to the other end of town to get them on the school bus in the morning, which we all had time for. But I'm hoping this isn't like a long-term thing.
Oofta.
Brandon's got this thing against cabs.
I was just going to say, we do have taxis.
I know.
Huh.
And weird. I don't know what it is about it that he has such a problem with.
They're weird. It's
but
just,
I'm not
going to
do this forever, just so everybody knows.
So this is your public announcement.
This is my public announcement that I'm not taking him to the airport every single morning because I finally got the bus thing working. I mean, it's literally one day a month that I have to go to the airport and do this. And
oh, so it's really not that bad.
No, but
today it was.
Well, that's because we've had two nights in a row where we've had coaching experiences that are late. Yeah. And so we reverse our schedule when we are working late at night.
Right.
I mean, when you work till 10:30 at night, the last thing you want to do is be up by like functioning by 8.
Right. But you get that because you work late at the.
I do. Last night I wasn't home till 12:45.
Theater.
And
what time did you wake up today?
I got up at 7, kind of. So I got up at 7 and I got Mason ready, and Madison and I both were kind of up. And then I started reading, and I was going to go over some, like, new show ideas, and I fell asleep on the couch.
And then what time did you wake up?
I think it was, like, 10-ish.
See?
Yeah. But, like, intermittent. You know, you don't really, when you have
a
kid, it's not like you really sleep.
No.
You always kind of sleep with one eye and one ear open, because if you hear, like, a dunk or, like, a hey or a dad or I'm thirsty. So it's like,
I get that now because my dog is starting to act like a toddler.
It's crazy.
Yeah, having a pet
and
or a fur baby.
Having her throw up in the middle of the night is the fastest way to wake you up.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when we would have dogs when that would happen. And
this
you
took
like
a turn. I'm sorry.
It did. And this is definitely not what our topic is. Today,
lightened it up.
It does say ad lib.
That's what we're doing.
Today's episode is called Where Do You Stand Part 2, and we're going to continue to talk about the social climates in America and kind of what's going on. Last week we talked about the protest movements that are happening, the one that we have in our backyard. This week we're going to talk and kind of talk about racism a little bit, our attitudes towards it. And again, last week's discussion I thought was great. I don't know if we've received that much feedback, but I just ask that you just listen in an open mind. If you disagree with us, that's okay. it's all about opening a discussion, and that's what I like.
We haven't received a ton of feedback, which sometimes it's hard to gauge. We've known this kind of about our audience from the beginning, that the more real and hot button a topic is, the less we hear from people.
Yeah. But we have heard lots of people say they love the podcast.
Right.
So
good.
But
we should
probably do, like, in the future, we should start to do some episodes here and there where people can write in their questions or something, and we make a whole episode of it.
Yep,
so
totally. We have that ask at bigbluecouchcoaching.com email address, and we could totally start using that.
Yes.
For
so
people
think
to
about
send
think
in
about things in the future what you would like to hear
stuff.
From us. I think that there are times when we have a conversation with our coworkers, a conversation with our friends, or let's say someone that maybe you know, we don't think someone else is listening. And that term, you know, with the election coming up, the locker room talk term has been thrown around. And I think there can be an undercurrent of racism in certain conversations where you just kind of like say it as a joke,
mm-hmm.
or you kind of turn the conversation that way. So what I want to ask the girls today is, if you're in a conversation like that with a group of people or with a really good friend or with anybody, how do you redirect that conversation in a positive way so you're not coming off as either, you know, ignorant or, let's just say, for lack of a better term, racist?
Right. Well, I think first thing, you put down in here the actual definition of racism.
Yep.
We're starting to rub off on you.
I know. I like it. Yeah.
I was proud of you. I'm like,
so let me read that first, and then we can go ahead and answer the question. So racism means prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior. First thing I'm going to say, though, is I think it's hard for us to get behind that idea that we're being racist, because nobody wants to ever think that their race is superior. But mm-hmm. I like this idea of that undercurrent, because I think that's what happens more often, that conversations take a turn and we don't even realize it, because either A, we're used to it, or we grew up mm-hmm. in families where that thing that just happened. So if you asked anybody, I don't know how many people would say, yes, I think my race is superior to another.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's some people that wear it loud and proud, but not the vast majority of people would probably say that, but it does happen. It happens in undercurrents all the time in conversation. So I like this kind of twist on it where maybe we're not blatantly racist, but is that any less harmful?
I don't know, because the places that I've been employed over my life, every place I've been to, there's been something directed at a different
mm-hmm.
race.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie, there have been times where I've laughed at a joke that was definitely off color. I've participated in those conversations. And now when I look back on it and I think, wow, instead of making a positive impact on someone and being like, wait a minute, what are we doing here?
Right.
I just like went along with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I would kind of like want to learn from you guys today is how you would approach that.
You know, I think it really depends on who the people are that you're talking with, because mm-hmm. sometimes the only way to approach it is to stay quiet or to physically move your body to a different room.
Right.
Because there are times where I've tried to change the conversation by almost laughing at, like, wow, you guys are like, do you realize how you're sounding right now? Like, mm-hmm. Jesus loves people of every color and race.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten comments back on that. Well, I hope so. I don't know. And it's just like, well, read your Bible. He does. Like, that's
right.
Yes. It's not. I don't know. It's yes.
Jesus
it's not a
wasn't
hope.
a Caucasian person.
No, he was not.
Definitely
but
not.
I think sometimes staying silent is the only thing you can do, because there are certain people who are not ready to change their thinking or their words,
mm-hmm.
and there's no amount of talking to them that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That it has to be a heart issue for them. And I'm not saying that staying silent is always the right thing to do, because it is good to stand up for the truth and for what you believe in. But staying silent in those moments where it's family and things could get heated can maybe be better. The best thing might be to actually leave. Don't
actually
be a part
like,
of it.
I like that idea, because taking yourself physically away from the conversation mm-hmm. is a way to say something without saying something.
Right.
And I think the hardest one is with family.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like with coworkers, there have been definitely times, as you've heard on this show, Rachel and I both have Native American ancestry, and North Dakota has a weird thing going on right now. So there have definitely been times at work where those conversations have gone that way, where I've said, "Hey, come on,
right.
Like let's steer in a different way." And that was easy for me, and maybe that's just because the position I'm in, I've been there for a while, the people know me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're with your family, I mean, that could be like, okay, you're not getting a Christmas card this year sort of thing.
But also it can be, you know, when you are, if you are somebody who is changing your mindset from what you grew up with, I think the difficult thing comes from the fact that when you put yourself back in those environments with your family that you grew up with, you kind of regress back into that until you've had enough time to practice this new habit and this new mindset and stand firmly in it.
Right.
And so I think sometimes it's not so much that you're scared of what they're going to say. It's you don't realize until you get home, wow, I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
Or I shouldn't have laughed at that joke. Or I shouldn't have even stayed in the conversation.
Yep.
And I think we can just boil it down to just habits too. Sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves to just like totally, you know, stand up for something against our family. Well, if you've been living in this family a long time,
yeah,
like Mandy was saying, you do naturally revert back. Mm-hmm. There's certain ways families talk. There's certain ways or certain subjects that they will talk about certain ways. And we can easily, it's kind of, and it reminds you of somebody who's maybe an alcoholic where there's long seasons, maybe even their entire lifetime that they can't be in certain situations where alcohol is around or where, you know, in bars or that kind of thing. And this kind of reminds me of that. Like if you are in a family that has that kind of conversation and it's one you don't want to have anymore, maybe there does need to be some space.
Mm-hmm.
And until you're strong enough, like Mandy was saying, or the habit has started to change in your own life that, you know, you can not revert back to what you used to say or what you used to laugh at or whatever.
And also, when you think about generations, you know, our grandparents are in their 80s. And, you know, 60 years ago, there are certain words that don't have the weight that they do now.
Right.
And that they were just flippantly used. And I think about that now, the words that we use, what are my grandchildren going to be like, geez, grandpa,
right?
You can't say that anymore. You know, and if we're aware of that, if we're using those words and they're hurtful and we're using it in an ignorant way, but at the same time, to have that generation 2 years prior to us, it was just... That's how they used it.
I think it's an interesting thing because we're not all that far out from segregation. So most families have generations that grew up, you know, like grandparents or even great grandparents that grew up in the United States, if you're listening to us in the United States, where it was segregated. And then they were in their adult years by the time things started changing. And then we have our generation of parents that kind of grew up in the 60s and the 70s when everything was upside down and backwards because they're trying to move away from an old system. And then us, you know, I think it's a really interesting time to live in history to deal with these different undercurrents in families because every generation seems to have grown up in a different environment when it comes to racism and what it looks like.
I think too, you use the word ignorant. And I think ignorance is a huge issue when it comes to any topic, any issue that's happening right now, because so many of us are ignorant. Like, we just don't sit there and think about what's happening to this people group or why certain cultures care about certain things. What a beauty it is that they can come to America, still hold on to the things that were important to them as a culture. I've been around some people who it's almost like they forgot that, hey, when your ancestors moved here, they moved here from another country. And they held on to certain qualities and certain cultural things that were important to them because they could.
Imagine the German food we would miss out on.
Why is it such a monstrosity for other cultures to be doing that today? Like, it's not. And my husband and I have that conversation a lot about how, you know, things were different back then. And North Dakota is changing because we used to be primarily German and Norwegian, and now we have different cultures, and that's kind of rocking our world a bit for some of the people that, you know, grew up where they're only around Germans and Norwegians. And it's just interesting to me because it's like we all have things that are important to us. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong to have – that doesn't mean you don't love God. It doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. It means you you cherish the traditions mm-hmm. that you brought with you.
Right.
Definitely. Thinking about that, I'm going to go back to the definition of racism real quick here. Just the part where someone of a different race is not as superior as your own race. Thinking about that definition, do you think that someone can just be inherently racist, where regardless of their environment or what has gone around about around them, they're just racist without even learning it? Mm-hmm. Or do you think it's something that is so learned and so ingrained in them from a little on that that's how they have become who they are?
I think it's learned.
I totally think
and I think
learned.
It's learned more from the small actions than the big ones. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's learned
just the
more,
jokes in the locker room.
Yep, I think it's learned from jokes. I think it's learned from snarky comments here and there that we don't really think about saying, but mm-hmm. yet little people are watching, little people are listening, and we grow up, and all of a sudden, here we are, and we're like, oh. I didn't realize I was holding on to that, and I don't like that about myself. And I think it's learned.
I agree. I totally think it's learned. I think psychology shows that you don't come out of the womb inherently racist. I mean, we all come out of the womb with sin and different things that mm-hmm. we deal with and hate and that kind of stuff that can happen. But I don't think that we come out as little children seeing color like that mm-hmm. or even understanding or having the cognitive understanding that I'm better than this person mm-hmm. because of the color that I am, or I am better than this person because of the color that I am. But I think, like Maddie was saying, and it is totally learned in the little things. And I also think it's totally learned inside of our homes. Mm-hmm. I think as a society, we probably do better on the surface, making it look like the race, maybe right now is not a great example yeah. in our country,
right.
Which just shows how shallow the surface actually is. But I think as a country, as the United States, we try to make it look like we accept everybody, no matter what, you know, race you are, what color you are, what religion you are. But clearly that's not what is happening. So then you have to look at, where is that coming from? And like you were saying, mm-hmm. Mandy, it comes in those little things. It comes in the environments that you're raised in, because we don't really see it on TV anymore. We don't really see it like propaganda in newspapers, or like, you know, bathrooms are segregated. So you don't see it in society maybe mm-hmm. the way that you used to. Mm-hmm. But clearly the racism thing is still repeating generation after generation after generation. So it's got to be coming from somewhere. And mm-hmm. I think these things are passed down when we don't realize it in these little things, every day-to-day, you know, comments, day-to-day conversation. And that's where I think it's the only way we can stop this from happening, too, is in those moments in homes.
Mm-hmm. And that goes us into three. If you guys believe that racism is definitely learned, I think that it can be unlearned as well.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of steps would you guys say that we can take to unlearn that behavior, Mandy?
I think the first step would be to start asking questions. Chances are there's maybe somebody that is of a different race that you could, that maybe you work with, or maybe you pass them in the hallway of your apartment a lot. You know, get to the point where you can strike up a conversation with them, build a relationship with them, and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way you really can unlearn a behavior, is by understanding what you're afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, what was it, the other night in the Unashamed coaching experience, I was sharing something I had written down that day. It was a Bible verse in Ephesians. I can't remember what it was, but it said something about how you are able to love Christ fully, even though you will never understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never fully understand it, but yet you can love him wholly and fully, or something like that. And I wrote down this question, like, am I afraid to embrace the things that I don't understand?
Mm.
And I think that's a really important question to ask when it comes to social issues like this, like
Certainly.
Racism or even the protesting mm-hmm. that we talked about last week. Because if we're afraid of embracing things we don't understand, we have a long way to go.
Well, and you right. know, you talked about ignorance being such a mm-hmm. thing, and I think you're right on, is asking questions to combat that ignorance.
Yeah.
And I work at a theater, and last night there's a movie playing now called Birth of a Nation. Mm-hmm. And it's the story of Nat Turner's rebellion. And so if you don't know anything about that, he was a slave who led a revolt. And it was a really violent revolt, actually, mm-hmm. and killed a lot of people. And I thought about that, how sad it was on both sides. Mm-hmm. That here this man is, that he is literally driven to the point where he doesn't feel like he has any way out and he has to kill. Mm-hmm. And then people see that as a response, and then they needlessly kill also. And that would be the saddest thing to me, to see that happen again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That our country is pushing certain races to the point of no return.
Right.
And then we have needless violence again. Mm-hmm. And I think that unlearning this racist behavior is what's going to help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I think we're kind of seeing that in different places, yeah. Maybe not in the grand, you know, things where you would make a movie about it. But then again, we could be, mm-hmm. you know, when you think about it, like all these years later, we do get desensitized to mm-hmm. some of this. And yeah. It might be just as violent as it was back then. We're just used to it yep. more, because I know things are happening in bigger cities that people are dying in massive amounts every single day in this country. And I bet a lot of it stems from racism. I mean, I don't have any polls or anything that I can pull from here and be like, prove this stuff. But that stuff comes from hate, and the hate has to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just go kill people for no reason a lot of times. You don't just go on drugs for no reason. You're trying to mask something. You're trying mm-hmm. to mask pain. You're trying to fill some kind of need in your life. And, you know, the drugs can lead to all kinds of different choices that you would never make normally. But I agree. If they're learned, you can unlearn it. And I think it takes one person at a time mm-hmm. saying this stops now.
Yep.
So even though maybe my parents' generation or maybe my grandparents' generation talked a certain way, we won't talk like that mm-hmm. in this house. So that would be like, you know, that's one small step to take mm-hmm. that we don't laugh at jokes like that. Or we, you know, go out of our way to make sure that if we have a family living by us that is a different color or from a different country or whatever, that we go and purposely welcome them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the point of America when it started to yeah. be this welcoming, melting yeah. pot of people. Yeah. And we've lost that because we're so scared. We're yeah. so scared of everybody.
I feel like we used to do such a good job of that, of getting to know the neighbors. And now it's like fear, fear.
Yes.
You don't know who your neighbor might be. Right. Because you don't know your neighbor.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
We don't even yep. bother to get to know
each
other.
You don't even know their names. Yeah, so
I remember thinking, just not long ago, driving past our neighborhood that we grew up in and being like, oh, the 90s nostalgia.
Right.
And it's like, how did, that was only like 10, 20 years ago. Like, where did that feeling go from where?
20.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It was not 10.
Sometimes 2006 seems like yesterday.
I know.
It's like, what? So how did that, and I think you're right on there, Mandy, is that those neighborhoods that we lived mm-hmm. in, we knew each other.
Mm-hmm. We did.
We went over to each other's houses and we yep. said, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
And we engage in those conversations. And now, I mean, I don't know my neighbors.
I've even noticed that in my own apartment complex. We've lived there for 5 years. And over that 5 years, we've known probably 4 to 5 of my neighbors in my building mm-hmm. that have since moved out. And now I'm like, I don't know anybody, right. But they were also willing to get to know me. So it was a two-way street.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like, I don't know anybody who lives here, which is weird.
Yeah.
And I wish that more people had that mindset still of let's get to know our neighbors. Mm-hmm. Let's reach out. And mm-hmm. I think, I just think that's something that's missing. But I also think another simple step we can do to unlearn this behavior is just become aware of what we're thinking, mm-hmm. the conversations we're having, and give ourselves permission to be okay admitting that, oh, that was probably wrong. I don't really like it, and I'm going to do better next time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't really unlearn a behavior until you know where you're starting from.
Definitely.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And I think I love what you guys are saying about this whole fear thing, which I think I would think that probably every generation deals with fear, but I think because we have this media age that we mm-hmm. live in, the fear is kind of rampant.
Yes.
Totally.
And so we lock ourselves away inside our homes because heaven forbid there is somebody in our block that could do something or whatever. And it reminds me of a couple of weeks ago, Elevation Church did Code mm-hmm. Orange Revival, and Christine Kane was one of the speakers, and she was talking about, because she was adopted, and mm-hmm. she was pretty much abandoned at the hospital, not given a name or anything like that. And she was talking about when we don't give people names, mm-hmm. when we don't give them identities, it's easy to bypass them. And she was talking more about the slave trade. Mm-hmm. But I think it all kind of
right.
goes together. When we don't know people's names and we don't know things about them, we can easily ignore and pretend like it's not our problem. Mm-hmm. When you go out and start meeting people, when you go out of your way to even just meet your neighbors, that is actually a huge it thing is. Because it's not something our generation does very well, I don't
right.
think.
I don't think
because
so
I think we're growing yeah. up in this idea that... And who knows whether these things are true or not, but we're growing up in this idea that it's too scary out there. It's too scary for us. It's too scary for our kids.
And I don't think it is. I think it's how you look at it. I don't think that it's changed
I don't think
from
it's
what it
changed.
Used to be.
Human behavior has not changed.
Right.
But it's our just access that it's, to it is yeah. different. And so I think that breeds fear. I try to be as much of a parent like my parents were with my kids as I can. Mm-hmm. Because you have to be careful too now because other people will watch your parenting and be like, what? They're not, right. you know, helicopter parenting at right. all times. Call the authorities. But my kids are getting older, too, so I can start doing some of that. But we live in a neighborhood that we're literally surrounded by, like, my parents' generation. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot better job of, you know, making sure I know way more of my neighbors in this neighborhood than I've ever known. Mm-hmm. Because we're surrounded by a different generation.
Yeah.
Which, in some ways, is kind of sad because my kids don't have a lot of little kids on the block. But I know that those people are watching out for my kids, that if yeah. they're playing out in our yard, mm-hmm. I've got like, you know, five other grandparents that kind of live around us that I know are kind of keeping an eye because, mm-hmm. you know, three kids.
And it is funny because they will actually come out and sit
yeah,
on
they
their
watch.
Back porch
yeah.
and watch.
Yeah, yeah it's a cool neighborhood.
Which
it is.
They might not be real happy when we build a fence next year, but you know. But yeah, it's a great neighborhood mm-hmm. to be in. And I think it kind of reminds me of more of what I had as a little kid. And I'm glad my kids are growing up in a neighborhood where they at least know some of the neighbors. And I think it sounds like such a simple step, but we were saying this last night in Unbroken to the girls and we were talking about some of these first things you do as you start out in the Unbroken coaching group. I told them not to bypass the simple things just right. because they sound too simple. Mm-hmm. They can't work because they're too easy to do or too simple to do. That can't possibly change a whole mindset. And it can.
That's good.
These yep. little things, like we were telling them last night about, you know, using the truth statements and speaking God's word out loud, even if you don't believe it yet, and choosing gratitude and choosing courage. These little things can make a big difference
yep, that's
in
good. That's
racism,
really good. Yep.
in all of this hate that's going on. I mean, geez Louise, the political field is just like, oh, is it November mm-hmm. 8th yet or whatever yeah. day that is? And when can it all be over? And I think if we just kind of embrace that idea mm-hmm. that these simple things really can turn it around.
They can. And another simple practical thing, if this is a huge problem that you're noticing and you're noticing that you especially feel like you're bombarded with racism and all the fear when you are on social media, unfollow or unfriend people. Mm. There is nothing wrong with that.
Annie and I just did like
we
a
did, and
last
my news feed has changed drastically. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want, and that doesn't mean I don't like the person. Not at all. It means I care more about what is going into my head than whether or not this person thinks they're mad at me or I'm mad at them because we're not friends on Facebook.
I know. I was like, and I told her last week, I said, when did Facebook turn into like grade yeah. school? And you're like, I'm not your friend anymore. And then you come back from recess and you're like, never mind, I'm your friend again. I'm like, this is so stupid. How yeah. we get our minds around
and so
that. But
get rid of the people that if
there might be a lot of that, never mind, I'm your friend again after the election.
Though. Yeah, that
but the thing is, I mean, you don't have to unfriend everybody. You can unfollow
right, right.
some
yep,
of them.
Yep, yep.
But if you're noticing that, for instance, I have so many friends on Facebook because before there was a business page, the only way you could connect with people was from your personal profile. And I don't even talk to any of these people on Facebook. So I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why am I keeping them here?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, be aware of what you're following on social media. Be aware of how much your thumb is scrolling through the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that doing to your mindset on racism? What is that doing on your mindset of fear? It's probably bothering you more than you realize.
Right. And also, what is it doing to your relationships?
Yeah.
Like, I have not posted anything about the election except for one thing. And the thing that's bothered me the most is that we are so hateful to each other over so many issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you guys, we're going to still be friends and family after this election is over. And if we keep being so hateful to each other, we're destroying mm-hmm. relationships that matter probably way more than mm-hmm. who's president for the next 4 years. And I think that's something we need to be careful of, too, is it doesn't mean you're ignorant and you don't want to know what's happening. You're just like putting the blinders on and, oh, if I don't see it, it's not really going on. That's not what we mean. No. It means you're protecting your heart, you're protecting mm-hmm. your mind, and you're protecting those relationships just in like your life that, verse that are important.
Is it Psalm that says, guard your heart for it is the wellspring.
I think it is.
Guard your heart, yeah.
Of your soul.
Yep.
That's what you're doing. And I don't think we realize that a lot of how we see other cultures and other people is through social media these mm-hmm. days. And it's not even through the people themselves. It's through the media.
Right.
And everything that's being shared. And you want the most simple act? Take that one and go see what happens.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Even just take off media off of your Facebook feed for a while and yep. see what happens.
Or take a Facebook break.
Yeah.
That helps too. Yeah, that helped me too. For a lot the last couple of days. So we just want to thank you so much for tuning in. A couple little challenges I want to give you this week. Maybe just take like a pie to your neighbor's house or something. I love pie. So if a neighbor came over with that, I would be so thankful and just say hi. Maybe you'll see them raking their leaves and just go over and be like, hey, can I help you rake your leaves? Any little step like that can help bring a community together. Also, we talked about ignorance. Don't be ignorant. It's cool not to be ignorant. Try to get educated on certain issues that you're passionate about, and that would be so awesome. Also, come back and listen to us again. I am so happy that you did today. Before you go, though, if you could just give us a little shout on Facebook, on iTunes, anywhere that you want to say, hey, this podcast is awesome, we would so appreciate it. Give us a rate, give us a shout, because we love you and we love this program. So until next time, let's rise up and let's build a courageous nation together.